Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone. It's 3:15 on a Wednesday. That means Dave McGinnis joins us. Coach Mack.
Hey, guys.
You ready for the draft? If the draft were Thursday, would you be ready?
No. Getting closer, though.
Getting closer,
still
huh?
Still got some prep to do.
Yeah, we got some stuff to do. We just went, we did a little bit of potting today. In other words, putting them by position where we think they might fall in the draft. And, I mean, we've done some stuff.
So you go vertically on your draft board and then horizontally.
Vertically by position, and then you go horizontally potting them across the position board to see, you know, when your pick comes up, then you're gonna take from different position groups and see where they fit. You know, we call it a bullpen. We'd put them, their names up on the board in a bullpen, and then as you know, about 10 or 15 minutes before your slot started, and then you'd start to, of course, some of those guys would come off as the draft would progress, and then you would replace them back up there, and then if you needed to reread a report, you'd pull out a report and reread it, and it's pretty interesting.
So what is the process like 3 weeks out for the people in the building?
A lot of people are on coaches. The phone right now. I mean, yeah. I used to be tearing the phones up right now, chumming the water.
So what are you looking for on the phone?
Well, you're trying to find out, you know, first of all, if anybody's interested in moving, and nobody's going to tell you right now exactly what, but then you start chumming the water. You know, you start throwing chum out there to see, you know, what somebody might be interested in, you know, where they might be looking. I'll tell you all that, our listeners. I mean, I was just on a conference call with about five linebacker coaches in the league still wanting me to, Coach Mack, just compare this guy to this guy for me. And this,
yeah.
You know, I need to start charging them for it.
Yeah,
but, yes, you do.
But anyway, this time of year, what you start to do is you start to either reinforce, you know, what you know and what you see. And a lot of times at this time of year, what you've got to guard against is over-evaluating and overcompensating for things. And then really, you know, trust your two best friends, your left eye and your right eye, as to what you've watched all along with the, you know, with players. But I used to love this time of year, because now you can start to figure out where the draft is. And when you're looking at the draft, you've not only look at what's ahead of you, you've got to understand what's behind you and what some people might need, because there's always a chance that, I mean, I've been jumped a lot of times in the draft,
right,
in draft rooms with people trading up. And so you know, it's a constant. And then plus, now you've got your 30 visits coming in, which I used to love, because I love vetting these guys face to face and having them in your place, you know, and being able to vet them and find out. That's the part that I miss right now, is I can't get face to face with these guys, because that used to be a really, really important part of what is going on right now. But
you want to see the whites of the eyes, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I want to be able to smell them with some questions, you know, and be able to see, you know, what's going on. Now, what's, you know, what we've done in here, I mean, you've seen, I mean, I think Rhett and I we've already vetted and watched probably about 167 people on that board right now, which is, you know, that'll take you through some of the draft, but this is fun. This is going to be a really, really fun draft. Of course, I love the draft anyway.
You love the evaluation process.
I love the evaluation process. I've loved it since I was coaching in college, and when you didn't have all the tools and everything, so you really had to go out and it's harder. It's really harder, you know, for college coaches, because you're judging 17 and 18 year old kids and trying to see where they might project. And so, you know, and especially when I was coaching, the 13 years I was coaching in college, they gave me all the inner city schools across the country. And so there wasn't a lot of film. So you really had to dig and find out about the people, find out their athletic ability, you know, find some things. It made me a better coach. It made me a better evaluator. And then when I got in the league, I mean, I had, you know, when Bill Tobin and all those guys at the Bears, they were pretty specific about what they wanted to hear, what they wanted to know. And if you couldn't write and read a report, well, then you couldn't come in the room, you know. And so I learned pretty fast.
Who's rising up the Coach Mack draft board right now? Who's somebody you like?
What do you mean as far as rising up? I tell you who, the two kids, L.J. Collier and Ben Benogu from TCU, with their pro day workouts have risen up the draft board.
Right.
You know, quite a bit. You know, they're two outside. They're a little bit different, both guys, but they're kind of rising up the draft board because, you know, you look at them when they play in Gary Patterson's defensive scheme. He does a lot of things with his guys, so you have to kind of project what they might be able to do if you're going to play him in a true 4-3 or a 3-4, but those two guys are kind of interesting.
You know, we've talked, the Titans obviously picked 19th, right? There's a chance they move up. There's a chance they move back. There's a chance they take that pick. But what I start looking at is positionally positions that the Titans probably don't go after in round one, because that shortens the list of prospects. And now you're starting to see there might be four quarterbacks taken before the Titans draft at 19. So to me, in my mind, they're really drafting, if true, they're drafting 15th, right?
No, if four quarterbacks are taken before the 19th pick, first of all, I'm not, you know, again, I don't ask these guys because I don't want to know. You know, I don't want to know because, you know, when I was doing it for real, and I wouldn't tell anybody either.
Right.
And so I don't.
But if you were a coach,
here's the thing.
Yeah.
And again, to your point, which is a fair point, and it's a real point. First of all, I don't think they'll move up. I don't think they'll move up because I think, you know, this draft capital that they have, I think, you know, John Robinson, you know, he cherishes that, you know, especially
right
now.
Six
and
picks.
Plus what he's done in free agency, he has set himself up so that he's not desperate for anything. And that helps too. Now, when you start looking at the board, if there are four quarterbacks taken before 19, I promise you, everybody up there will be
jumping up and down.
They'll be breakdancing.
Yeah.
Because I mean, it's a good thing if that
Daniel
happens.
Daniel Jones is that guy that people are talking about now.
That's the guy. And of course, you know, everybody's pretty much in consensus. And again, consensus doesn't mean anything at this point, but you can start to narrow things in on Kyler Murray and Haskins, you know, and then you're looking at Drew Locke, who mm-hmm likes him, you know, who's going to be willing to take some of the hickeys off of him and say, okay, we can make him do this. And then Daniel Jones is the next guy, in my opinion.
What do you say with some of the other quarterbacks? Because John Robinson has basically said at the owners' meetings, we have to find a guy to develop. They have six draft picks, first round, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, no seventh rounder. So to me, Coach, I think they need a pass rusher, and I think they need a best friend for Jarrell Casey. I think those are the two biggest needs that I see, even after free agency. I think those are the things that they need. So maybe that pushes them into a receiver, a tight end to look down the road with, but you only get six picks. Where does a quarterback fit into that equation?
Well, it depends on which quarterback is there. There are some lower, I mean, I don't want to say lower tier guys, but there are some guys, you know, after the look. Ryan Finley kid, you know, from North Carolina, right, is a guy you might want to look at. The Browning kid is someone you might want to look at. Kyle Shermer down here at Vanderbilt. Somebody's going to take a shot at him,
yep,
just because of this. Because he's had great background, he's had great schooling, he's played in a professional offense, and plus he understands and he gets it. I mean, he's grown up around this stuff, and you can't negate that, especially at that position.
Does he get drafted?
Dawn, maybe late.
If he does, it'll be super late.
Yeah, maybe late. But if not, let me say something about, and that's, I'm glad you brought that up. You know, people want to get drafted, but if you're going to be in the middle of that seventh round to the bottom, you're really better off not being drafted.
Right.
Because you can pick the best situation.
You can pick the best situation where you want to go, and then it becomes a bidding war. I mean, it really does. Yeah. I mean, I've been involved in these types of things where it becomes a bidding war. I mean, you know, when I was the head coach at Arizona, we lost out on a bidding war with the Cowboys, you know, for Tony Romo.
Yeah.
You know, because we were dialed in on Romo, you know, coming out of Eastern. But so then it becomes a point as to where those guys can pick where they want to go. So sometimes, you know, I mean, and what will happen towards the end of the draft, position coaches will start calling guys they have an eye on and say, look, if you're not taken, and they will have already have contacted, you know, they'll have contacted agents. They will.
Right.
It's a whole different world from the middle of the seventh round to the end of the seventh round. Then with this free agent thing, that is organized chaos after the draft is over. I promise you.
Great job, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Dave McGinnis. In studio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Let's talk Rush Specialist, if you don't mind.
Let's talk whatever you want to talk about.
What are you seeing on your draft board in the first round at that position? Who do you like?
Nick Bosa, Josh Allen, Montez Sweat, Rashawn Gary, Brian Birds, and Ferrell from Clemson. Those are my top six.
Tell me about the Florida State guy.
Yeah, I love him.
He's getting projected by some people now to make it to 19 to the Titans.
Well, look, I like him a lot. 6'0", 4'6", 249, 83 5/8 wingspan. I mean, that's some reach. A 1.54 10. I mean, that's suddenness. 4.53 40. Vertical jump of 36. Broad jump of 10.9. A 3-cone of 7.01. You're talking about an athlete. I mean, I've got here written on my thing, very supple, loose. He's kind of smooth in space. His first step off the edge to me is not elite, but his second and third are exceptional. Mm. Exceptional, where he can close. He can
so
close.
You could deal with that?
He can close. Yeah, I can live with that. He can close the arc, okay? He also uses a variety of pass rush moves. So what that tells me whenever I see a kid being able to do that and attacking someone that's trying to block him with a variety of moves, you know, counter moves, is that they've studied their opponent, and also they understand how to piece together. They're not segmented in their rush. Mm. They can piece together rush moves. I think the thing, the minus I put on him is mass. I mean, he weighed in at 249 at the combine. He did not play at that. Right. You know, he was a 235-pound guy playing, and that's not enough sand in your bottom, you know, to play the edge as far as to be able to hold the edge, you know, in the National Football League. Right. He's going to need more than that.
Easily changed.
He's already at 249 and putting up those numbers that he put up. So, you know, with a good weight program, I have no idea. I've never vetted the kid. It looks like he appears to be a smart guy, an aware guy when he plays. He's got flexibility. I think he's got a fundamental understanding of how to use his length and his hands. The other thing that I like about him that I gave pluses, when I'm grading tape, I put plus, minus, and a zero, which means, you know, I can't grade him one way or the other. I like it. His ankle flexion is important. An ankle flexion in that thing is important because guys that can stick that foot in the ground after that third step and get it sideways and bend and be able to go back to the launch point of the quarterback is important. If you've got stiff ankles, okay, and you're like you're on stilts when you're running that edge, then they're going to just push you by. All right, this guy can stick it in the ground and stick that foot sideways. I like that. He's not as supple as Landry is, in my opinion, as far as the motorcycle lean, but he's close. I like him.
I saw the OTP podcast this morning. Mike Keith.
How'd I do?
You did great.
Okay, thanks.
Mike Keith showed a graphic, and we've talked about this. They basically have six bodies right now at outside linebacker. They have one guy with all the experience in the world in Cameron Wake, then a bunch of other guys like 3 years and younger experienced type guys, and you talked about how many of those cats you would want to take to camp. They need bodies at that position.
No, right? Absolutely.
They got six, and you were saying you want to take 9, 10
guys.
Yeah,
no,
right?
absolutely would. You know, when I was all the years I coached in the 4-3, and that's three linebackers.
Yep.
We'd take 9 or 10. Okay, usually, you know, we would usually take 10. You know, into OTAs, and then would figure out whether a guy really had a chance or not, and if we needed somebody else at some position. So you like to at least take two deep. Okay, so if you're talking about four, you take two deep, that's eight, and then if you got, you know, two or three, that's 9, 10, or 11. So to me, 10 or 11 is probably a good number with a 3-4 team.
There are always guys with great names and small college guys. O'Shane Zimenez with a bunch of X's.
Speed rusher.
Yeah.
Speed rusher from Old Dominion. Speed rusher, that's what he is. That's his game. You know, he's a speed rush game. You know, he's not gonna anchor for you, but he's a situational pass rusher, and he's got some juju to him off of the edge. He really does. You know, he's an undersized guy. Of course, you've got to look at what he – now, I tell you what, he had a great – when they beat Virginia Tech, he showed up.
Right.
Okay, so when you watch this guy, I mean, he's interesting. He'll be a down-the-line guy, but he's going to be somebody that somebody will get into camp, and he can rush the passer.
You want to take some phone calls?
Sure, I'll do anything you want.
615-737-1045. You have a question about the draft, a prospect. Perhaps Rusty is first up for Coach Mac. Hey, Rusty.
Hey, Coach Mac, I wanted to just thank you. Stopped by the Rose Garden a while ago.
Rusty, let me tell you, how solid is the Rose Garden?
Honey, that is Tom Brady level pie.
let me tell you something. When I'm with Coach Matthews and we were driving down to Cookeville, and of course, look, I recruited for 13 years. I drove West Texas. I drove everywhere. When you're driving out in the middle of nowhere and you're looking for places to stop, the Rose Garden, he said, hey, Coach Mack, you want to stop at a place to get some pie and coffee? I said, well, yeah. And so, that place, I love that place. That's the type of place I grew up with. That's the type of place I sought out when we were going down to when Larry Stone opened his new radio station down in Cookeville. We had Jonathan Hutton with us. We said, Hut, you want to stop here? That place is awesome, brother. What kind of pie did you get?
I had coconut cream.
That's Matthews. Potatoes. That's Doug Matthews. I wanted the pecan pie, and I let Hutton. He took the last piece, which upset me just a tad. But then I went with the cherry pie. That is an awesome place. That is a great place.
Hey, let me ask you something real quick.
Go ahead.
What do you think about the tight end out of A&M? Do you think the Titans would be worth taking a shot at him like third or fourth round?
Jay Sternberger, Rusty, let me read you my report. 6040-251-47540, which is nice for a guy that size. 170. I've got has athletic ability, physicality. He caught some passes for long yards in the film viewed. He's a coverage mismatch, all right? He's not polished as a route runner or a blocker. He's got all the requisite tools to be a nice complimentary piece. I think in an offensive package, I love his upside.
I love it.
Rusty gone?
Pie and tight ends.
Here's what Coach Mack can talk with about our listeners. Anything.
Mike drop.
Tight end, that is probably a position you'll see in the Titans six picks. We'll see.
Here's the deal. I mean, we talked about last year all the mock drafts having the Titans picking a tight end. We're back there again this year, although I think it's more of a possibility this year as far as the first round in this draft that the Titans will go tight end. You said Hockenson is your guy, your number one, right?
The two best guys I like, Don, I mean, in my opinion, again, right. I'm not picking anybody this year. You know, it used to be I'd pick a lot of people. I'm not picking anybody, but the two best that I've seen that I like for the NFL game today is Hockenson and Fant, both from Iowa.
Yeah.
I like those guys. My next guy is Irv Smith from Alabama.
Okay, so we've hit a little bit on Hockenson and Fant. You said Hockenson is the more complete tight end.
Correct.
Talk a little bit about then Irv Smith and let's hit on him.
Okay, here's what I got. Good athlete. He's got natural hands, good ball skills. I didn't see a lot of knockback in his blocking, but I believe he has toughs. I think he can get better in this area. I think he can be a coverage mismatch for linebackers and DBs. I think he'll improve with NFL coaching. He'll be a starting tight end in this league. I like him. I already talked about Sternberger. There's a kid, Cahale Waring from San Diego State. Foster Moreau from LSU is an interesting guy. Yeah. Josh Oliver from San Jose State. Donald Parham from Stetson. I've done a few.
Have you looked at Dawson Knox from Ole Miss?
Yes.
He's a big dude and a local dude.
That's another one. And absolutely. Now, he's more of an inline guy.
Yeah, right.
He's more of an inline guy that you look at. But there are going to be some guys down. It just depends on what type you want to get. But the top two that I think will be first-round players are the two kids from Iowa.
Yeah.
615-737-1045. You have a question. You hit on him earlier. I know there are a lot of Kentucky fans in the area. What pops with Josh Allen?
Oh, man. I love Josh Allen. I mean this guy to me, when you really watch tape and you watch tape chronologically this year, which, you know, I like to watch first of the year, end of the year. I've told you guys this before. Watch middle of the year. Watch best opponent. Watch worst opponent to see the consistency of a player. You watch Josh Allen. He's number 41. Mm-hmm. You watch him. You can see him consistently get better through the weeks. I mean, he was an ascending player, you know, through the week. 6'04", he's 6047, 262, 80.5-inch wingspan. I keep talking about wingspan with these edge guys. It's important because you're coming from a long way away from the ball, so you've got to be able to reach. You know, you've got to be able to have some things to disrupt. A 4.63, for a run, 28 times on the bench. He improved. I mean, I like his hips in space. I like the way he covers ground. I think he's got a great ceiling. I think he's a perfect 3-4 outside linebacker.
What about defensive linemen that somebody that might be able to help Jarrell Casey potentially.
Well, I mean, we know all the names. You know the names at the top, right? I mean, you know Quentin Williams. You know Ed Oliver.
Who's I love Quentin Williams.
Christian Wilkins goodness. From Clemson. Yeah.
Yes.
Really like this guy. I mean, he's one of my favorite guys, but he's going to have to be a redshirt. It's Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State. I mean, this is a full-grown man that, it really doesn't care who's in front of him. He's going to try to hurt him. And I like that. I mean, and he's that kind of guy. If you want somebody just to sit in gaps, knock people straight back, well, then Dexter Lawrence at Clemson is your guy. Jerry Tillery, a guy from Notre Dame that has got he's got something to him. You know, there's some questions sometimes about, how consistent he is with what he does. But when he's got a powerful punch, he's got length, he can stack and shed. So, you've got a guy there. Draymond Jones from Ohio State, a little shorter guy, but really strong. He's got first step quickness, very good lateral quicks. The kid, Colin Saunders from Western Illinois. I'm talking about down the draft now. We're talking about down the draft. Rennell Wren from Arizona State is interesting. Tristan Hill from Central Florida. I'm just talking about guys that I've seen and done pretty extensive work on. Isaiah Bugs from Alabama. There are going to be some guys there.
How deep is that for like a guy who can come in and help you immediately?
Well, your immediate help.
Yep.
Just in my personal opinion, Quentin.
Like you would draft this guy.
Quentin Williams.
Say, that guy can help us now.
Ed Oliver. Christian Wilkins, Jeffrey Simmons could if he wasn't hurt, but he is hurt, so that's not going to be. Dexter Lawrence could help you immediately. Tillery, just because of his size, could be a rotational guy. Draymond Jones would probably be a rotational guy. But from then on down, you're talking about some guys that would be rotational, developmental guys.
Todd McShay is talking about a wide receiver for the Titans, Marquise Brown at 19, wide receiver from Oklahoma. What do you think about him?
Well, he's DeSean Jackson. I mean, this guy, look. I've got him written up here.
Not a very big guy, meaning so DeSean Jackson came in studio with us one day and he was the smallest guy I've ever seen.
Marquise Brown though has got jets. Yeah. I mean he's got nitro boosters that he can hit and he's 5'09", 366 pounds. Okay. He's got athletic playmaking skills. He's got speed. He's got ball tracking skills, which, with a smaller guy, sometimes they have issues tracking it down the field. He can track the ball down the field over his shoulder. He's got size limitations. He's got durability difference. He had surgery on Liz Frank.
Yep.
So he's had Liz Frank surgery right now. He's already had it, so he's recovering from that. But speed and explosion is his game. He's unique like that. You just got to know how to use him.
You like some of those big receivers like N'Keal Harry? Because there's some big receivers in this draft, 6'4", 6'5",
type. I saw some Arizona State games this year, and that guy impacts the game.
No, I've got for N'Keal Harry here. He wins big-time combat catches downfield. Yeah. He's very physical. Yeah. He doesn't have separation quickness at the top of his route. He's not a sudden athlete at all, but he can track the ball. He plays power. He's a power forward. It's what he plays. I think he's a great complimentary number two guy. I really do. Because of what he can do. There are several of those guys, as you say, Mickey, Hakeem Butler at Iowa State.
Hakeem Butler's the other guy.
Is another one of those guys that is a big dude that, 6'05", 227, 36-inch vertical jump. He's a tall, powerful, he's a power forward guy, again, that you can use in a lot of different ways. And let's just couple this with the fact now that you've got these big combat catch guys, and now you've also got pass interference that's reviewable both ways, offensively and defensively. So that's going to figure in a little bit.
Maurice Jones-Drew, I think in his recent mock draft, had the Titans taking DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about him.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing about DK Metcalf, physical freak.
Physical freak.
And you can't deny that. He's got now. He's got some injury issues also. He had the neck issue, but you're talking about a 6'03", 228 pound athlete's got a 40.5-inch vertical jump. I mean, he hits his head on ceiling tiles doing that. And you got 11'2" broad jump. I mean, but he's a physical mismatch down the field. He's not great at breaking down in transition routes. His route tree, what they did with him. Now, what they did with him was right because he can outrun most everybody that he's running downfield with. You run him downfield vertical. You can break him off on some deeper inside, slant route, but he's mostly a vertical and linear route guy. He's not a refined receiver, but he's got unique, in my opinion, size, strength, speed ratio, and he needs work to be an accomplished wide receiver, but he's unique in the fact that they don't make this kind of guys that can run this fast.
There's a little guy that I've seen linked to the Titans maybe in the later rounds is Deebo Samuel, who we all got to see in the SEC. He seems like a versatile guy, and he could help you on special teams.
5'11", 214, 4'4", 8'40" is what he ran at the combine. So he's not an elite speed wide receiver, but he's a sudden mover. To me, he's got sudden moves. And he can find the open spaces inside. That's where they used him a lot,
right.
You know, inside to find those spaces. He's good after the catch, and I think he'll probably be a slot receiver and as a returner in this league.
Well, you know, the slot receiver acquisition of Humphreys might do him in that regard for the Titans, but he's going to play ball and play
no
ball.
No doubt. He's going to play in this league. And look, slot receivers are starters in this league now, guys, because there's so much 11 personnel that is being deployed on first and second down. A slot receiver is a starter.
Who's a receiver that might not be a first-round guy that you like, that you know, just watching tape, you think, hey, you know what, this guy might not be an elite first-round type level talent but could develop into something?
I like Hakeem Butler. I like Miles Boykin from Notre Dame.
Okay.
You know, Boykin from Notre Dame, 6'03", 6'220". I like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Stanford, okay? I mean, I kind of like what he does. I like Riley Ridley from Georgia, you know, as a route runner. I mean he's not going to blow you away. You know, he's a 4.58 40 guy. He's not an explosive athlete vertically. He had a 10.4 broad jet. He can find the open spot. He's not a sudden accelerator, but he's extremely smooth, great body control, good ball skills, catch radius control, you know, type of guy. I like him.
Coach Mack, flipping through the book. Where's your draft board, by the way?
Yes.
You can't let that thing get away from you.
You didn't leave that with Rhett Ryan, did you?
I got it in a top secret place.
It's locked up for now.
So how many guys do you want to view between now and the draft? You said you were up to 167.
We've already vetted, I think, on that board 167 guys. You know, and we've looked at it. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing now, and it's what you do. You start to try to search, you know, the lower part of it. You can't look at everybody.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, look, you know, when you've got draft personnel, you've got 20, 25 people doing this, you know, looking at all of them. And then when you start getting together and lining them up horizontally and vertically, I mean, that's, you know, it takes months to do this, and it takes a lot of people. But what you can do is get familiar with a lot of guys, and that's what Rhett and I are doing in here. You know, quite a bit is looking down at the bottom. And then, of course, I mean, it's going to be good. So
do these staffs overlap people? So you get your take on a guy and then this guy's take on a guy?
Mostly what happens in a draft room, you'll have at least four views on a guy. You'll have an area scout. You'll have a national scout. You will have somebody that has come in that's an overlap guy. And then you might have somebody, you know, come in and just look at certain positions where you'll have a scout that's just assigned to certain positions where you read that, and then you'll have the position coach.
Is there typically a guy who would champion, like an area scout would come in and champion? Like
stand on the table and say this guy.
Or maybe everybody else didn't get to see him. It's some guy from La Tech or Arkansas State or somewhere, and that guy has to basically just stand on the table?
No, well, here's what you do. See, there, you've first of all, and I've, you know, you, all the draft rooms I've ever been in for 31 years, you can't talk about anybody unless you've written a report.
Right.
First of all, I mean, it's not any sounds like great. I've been involved in that before. I'll tell you that story sometime too. It'll make you flip. But you've got to be able to have written a report and have vetted him enough to look at it. But there is not, look, you can get point of attack tapes, and you can get tapes, because whatever you say, it can be justified or it can be disqualified by looking at tape. You know, everybody can look at it. Now, if you've got somebody you firmly believe in, you know, and I've done it, you know, as a head coach, I've done it as a position coach where I say, I want this guy, you know, and I can, you know, I did it for, there's three guys I did it for when I was at Arizona. Anquan Boldin.
Good job.
Adrian Wilson.
That worked out. Yeah,
good job.
Kyle VandenBosch.
Okay. All right. Oh, yeah, sure.
You know,
good one.
And
that
I said,
guy terrified me with the.
I said, these guys are ball players. And so, and you know, Jim Washburn used to be the best at it. He would pick his guys, like for William Hayes and Jason Jones, he stood on the table. No. And he said, look, put this on me. Draft these guys. If they're not players within the second year, fire them and me at the same time. You know, and he was right. They're both players and played a long time. So, but you have to know what you're looking at. You have to know what you're looking at, and then you have to have something to back it up. But the more experience you have, you know, that, you know, people will start to listen to you and you start to look. But yeah, you've got to have conviction about it, but you have to have something to back up that conviction.
Love it. Yeah, always love these segments with you, Coach Mack. Appreciate you.
And we learned about pie today. So
yes, sir. Where to get it?
We're pie and tight ends. Somebody wrote that. That's a country song.
And
somewhere.
I like that you said pecan pie and not pecan.
No, what's
appreciate that?
It's pecan.
He's from Texas. They know what's up.
I know.